This episode of Speakers of Phaedalin is made possible by our generous patrons like Chris, Clinway, Metelligo, Phaelion, Ariel, CeeLo Redwind, Dimos, Sprocket, Christoph Haas, Sentra, Casey Schaefer, Bobby Forbridge, and Omega Cat Comet. Support the show and become a patron today at patreon.com/speakersxiv.
This is Speakers of Phaedalin.
Good evening, hello, Aorcians. Hello, Aorcians. Welcome to Speakers of Phaedalin, episode 68. I'm Lakeel Bravestone, and I'm joined by Yaspot and Myla Vanadar. Welcome. I'm sorry for those of you that tuned in time. There were some issues, but if you watched this podcast before, you know that that's part of the experience. Anyways, today we're going to talk about a lot of Yoshi P interviews. We're going to take some... we've cherry-picked a little from some recent interviews. Before I explain more, happy Meteor Day. Today marks the 5-year anniversary of the end of 1.0.
Yes!
So that's a thing. So I don't know if you celebrate... Yeah, obviously we celebrate it because...
We have a good game to play.
Yeah. today we're going to talk about the OGP interviews that have surfaced. They shed some light on the future of housing and Eureka, as well as the new companion app. Japanese servers are experiencing continued DDoS attacks, and the furnishing design contest winners have been announced. And if we have time for it in the great discussion today, does Final Fantasy XIV need more fluff content? And also remember to stay tuned for the post show, where we of course have comments of the week, and I'll reveal some concept art for the continuation of Secrets of a Realm. If you're a patron, if you're a senior speaker, you've already seen it, and above, and of course we will continue the incredible journey of the man slave Lovejoy, I can't remember his first name. So, as well as the usual Patreon. I'm sorry, I am all over the place today. We're pulling a patron from the Patreon-only voice chat, as usual, to discuss a topic of their choosing. In the channel updates today, there's not really much to talk about. Remnants of a Realm episode 24 was released earlier than expected. I believe it was released on Tuesday, which was actually Speaker's Place slot. So, that was my fault. Speaker's Place, probably tomorrow? It's uploaded, so it's just waiting for a release slot. So I'm just going to give him that on Sunday, I guess. We also posted the comment show. There's no point in commenting the comment show. The comment show is out, though, if you haven't watched it already. Is there anything we want to talk about that we've done this week, or should we just skip to the main content? Has anyone done anything in particular that they want to share with our fellow AORCM?
I've just been leveling my alt, you know?
Yeah, I haven't really done anything extraordinary. I've done all my stuff, my Rabanaster, my Rabanasta.
I don't even know if I did that stuff this week, to be honest.
Oh, no. Well, you still have time.
Oh, well, I got to Neo X death, actually. That's a thing.
Yay! Congratulations.
It's about time.
Nice. Let's just dive into the interviews then. Over the past week, there have been a couple of Yoshi P interviews. One from... Myla? Yes. Please name the first source.
Are you talking about?
Yeah, that's Zhu? A Canadian.
Zhu
online, MMORPG.com and PSU.com, all having sort of the same kind of interview, because they mm-hmm. ask some of the same questions. But some interviews got more information than others, so we've just sort of picked from the ones that gave the most filling answers. So the first one here is... oh yeah, changes to the glamour system. Oh, a rare beast. Thank you.
Thank you.
So the development team, throughout A Realm Reborn and Heavensward, this is from PSU. We have seen great improvements to the crafting system and inventory management, such as the ability to search the market boards and retain your inventories for specific items. With the new server upgrades, what kind of quality of life adjustments do you see as a possibility? For example, would it be feasible to be able to craft items from materials still in your retainer's inventory? That is an interesting idea.
Awesome. That would be great. I find it weird that they specifically said that there was improvements to the crafting system, because I think you ask most crafters, they're not going to agree with that.
Yeah.
Not right now.
Yeah. Naoki Yoshida then answered, the development team are aiming to increase usability on two fronts. The first is the development of a large-scale and new system surrounding the glamour system and player inventories. The second is allowing for players to manage their retainer's inventory, chat with friends, and plan out schedules without having to log into the game. This would be through a companion app on smartphones. I believe we will be able to release more details on this soon. I hope you'll look forward to it. So, we already we've talked briefly about this, the fact that they're planning on changing the glamour system. It now says a large-scale new system.
Yes.
I still think it's the squadron thing.
The squadron thing's all right, but if it's not a wardrobe, like other MMOs, don't think I'll be like really impressed.
Yeah, I'm sick of keeping gear in my inventory, so that would be great.
I mean, it would solve so much, like with the inventory management as well, if they fixed that shit.
Big time.
And, I mean, I kind of get hope when he says large-scale new system, because the squadron one, okay, although I like that, it's way better than what we have.
It's way better, that's for sure, yeah.
Because now it's just, it's... Yeah, it's kind of how it's not good. So so any change to that system is good.
Agreed.
But if we consider the limitations of the game, because the game has some engine issues and other...
No.
I don't think we'll see turn it into like the... Guild Wars system, we're not going to see that in 14.
Probably not.
But you
never know. I guess if they're really going to I think they finally realized how much people actually rely on glamour. You know.
Yeah.
So I mean, maybe if they take it seriously, maybe we get something. It's better than we expect.
That's a good point. It's weird that they don't, because glamour is for some the true end game of 14.
Mm-hmm.
And to have such a primitive glamour system in a game like this, it's weird. It's puzzling.
Honestly, they're almost lucky
that
people actually give a shit about glamour. Yeah. Because it's not like it's made easy for them.
No.
And I know a lot of people who don't play other MMOs, I've heard many times, like, what's wrong with the glamour system? The glamour system's fine, right?
Mm.
Play other MMOs, you'll see.
Play another MMO for a little bit and you'll be like, oh, I get it now.
Pretty much like every single MMO out there has a better glamour system than 14.
Without a doubt,
unfortunately. Go ahead.
I mean, glamours are one of the only things in this game that are still quite difficult to collect.
Yeah.
Like minions, for example, you can just buy them all if you've got the money. But glamours, they don't drop anywhere else in the dungeons they're in. So people would go out and collect them, they go back and do all the content.
Yeah.
Such a good idea,
and it sounds like such a simple thing to implement. Like,
yeah, just a yes or a no. Have you unlocked appearance?
Remember, I remember like the first time I realized that there was something like, even though you don't need the gear, you can collect it. Was the gear that drops in Brave Flux? Remember that?
Right.
You got an achievement from that if you gathered the full set.
Yeah.
No, you're thinking of Zaymel.
Oh, that's the one I'm thinking about.
And there's like then. You can collect all three sets in Zaymel, and you get achievements for it. The Templars set, the Colosseum set, and something else.
Yeah. That's probably why do I get Brayflux? I think there's something there.
The best dungeon in the game.
Yeah, probably. I just saw Brayflux for some reason. One thing I do hope they do is increase the preview window size.
Yeah.
Because my up their god.
They made it really blurry and horrible.
Yeah, it looks terrible now.
Like, I thought when they said increase the resolution, they meant size of it.
Yeah, I thought so too, but no.
Not just making it look awful.
It's weird. I don't...
We don't have resizable windows in this game. You can't resize it.
That's true.
So, I mean...
God, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is weird.
It's very primitive.
Mm-hmm. It's the ghost of 1.0. Probably. Probably. Server limitations. anyways, let's hope that the glamour system gets a real good facelift, because it needs it.
No, sorry, go ahead.
I do think it's going to be pretty substantial, seeing as he said... I mean, it's difficult with YoGP because he uses big words when there's no grounds to use them, in a sense. So he's done this before, where he's sort of overhyped something and it's just not that great. It's great, but it's not that great.
One thing, some people are saying we do have resizable windows. I don't mean like scaling it. I mean like actually
just click and drag.
Dragging the corner and making something bigger or smaller.
The only thing you can do that with is the chat.
Right. Yeah. It's the only thing you can do that with,
And the map.
Oh, and the map. The map, too. Yeah, that's true.
But, it sort of uses the same kind of stuff as the... whatever. Yeah.
But if that was on more things, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah. More of that, please. Especially now that you have, like, 4K resolution and stuff, it's probably better to be able to do that.
Definitely.
What do you think about the app that they're releasing with that, then? Managing your retain inventory and chat with friends, plan schedules. I kind of thought an in-game calendar would be a great addition to this game.
Definitely.
Yes.
And having it on an app, I don't think is quite as good as having it in-game.
The thing, I didn't put it in the show notes, but we should definitely have to talk about it, because one of the interviews, he did specify more about the app than he did here. Ooh. But I mean the app is neat, like it's needed. I do hope it has the feature where it tells you when a duty has popped. So while you're at the toilet,
I don't think it will. That's an interesting idea.
Yeah,
I would love that so much, but I for some weird reason don't think it's going to be that connected to the game.
Didn't Guildwork have an app that did something similar to that? I might be remembering this
probably.
Wrong.
Probably.
I think it had a feature where it dinged when the dungeon popped. So if Guildwork can do it... I mean, he talked about being able to... too bad I didn't put it in here, but there is links to it in the show notes if you want to read the exact quote. But he talked about being able to manage your inventory via the app. And even... Mm-hmm. Transfer items from your inventory to retainer inventories, as well as, of course, the chat with link shells and whatever, and free company. Buying off the market board, selling. I don't think buying, perhaps, but at least selling. Did I just...
No,
Guildwork is an...
He's talking about Guild...
Yeah,
it's like an overlay.
Yeah. It was a big deal in the beginning of 14's life. Everyone used it for a while. The thing that irks me the wrong way is that he said that the app was free, but there's going to be a subscription tied to certain elements of it.
Doesn't really bother me, to be honest.
You pay per month for the game, and then you have to pay per month for a phone app connected to the game. Why can't that go into the sub fee? Is it really that expensive? Put an ad.
I assume it's going to be like $1 or $2 anyways. I don't think it's going to be that bad.
For what? What?
Yeah, we need to know what the extra features are.
Connect. I don't know.
Because what can you do with a free app, and what requires the sub? That's a big. Mm. That's an important thing.
That is a very important distinction for sure. But I mean, if it's just, I mean, they're transferring a lot of information, and it, I mean, you don't like a lot of people saying it's greedy, whatever. I mean, they're a business and they're providing a service. I'm okay with it, you know.
They're already like, there's already so much, like, I don't know. It depends on what you have to pay for.
It does. And if it's like $10 a month or some shit, well, no, I'm not going to stand on their side at all for that. But
pay the same amount that you pay for a regular sub.
Exactly.
No, that's probably not going to do that.
Maybe they should make it like a pedometer and you can level up by going for a walk or furiously shaking your phone.
Hey,
I mean, you could.
Hey, yeah.
Then maybe I'll level my paladin.
Or you could just do it. You know.
Yeah, you could always do that.
Just do it.
Yeah, I talked about him when my Ella is complaining about Black Mage's cast times and stuff and everything. So I said, "Do Red Mage." Turns out, my Ella hasn't even unlocked Red Mage. Which
plus, Mela, you guys just got like a free 0.3 second reduction on your overall global cooldown. Like, it's faster than it's ever been.
Needs to be more.
No, it doesn't.
Anyway,
you're crazy.
From is it Zhu online?
Zhu
online. Now we're just gonna switch to the housing crisis. Everyone's favorite topic. We haven't talked about it
again.
This is interesting what he's saying here, though. They ask the lack of restrictions on housing, one house per character or free company, makes it easy for players to buy multiple plots by creating alts. Some free companies even bought an entire ward. This is causing frustration and divide among players. What will be done concretely to 14 to resolve the housing crisis, aside from adding more wards? Naoki Yoshida answers, of course, we are aware of this situation, and we are looking into a different approach than adding wards to solve this. In fact, we already have a plan in the works, but I am unable to give you any information at the moment. Be assured that we are working on it, and details on the new restrictions will be revealed very close to the release of the new wards in patch 4.2. The reason why we don't want to disclose any details is that we want to give a fair chance to everyone. If we told you our plans, players will immediately start to prepare, and we want to avoid that. That said, there will be more features and policies around this new edition, so please don't worry about plot selling out too quickly. So let's stop there real quick.
Yeah. I want to point one thing out in there.
Yeah.
Which I think almost defeats the entire purpose of what he just said. Hmm. He says, if we tell them now, they're going to be able to prepare for it.
Yeah, that's what I had an issue with as well.
Does that... What?
That means that it isn't geared to helping people who don't have a house.
Right. I don't know, man. That doesn't...
What does it all mean? It's... okay, so let's break it down. First of all, he tells us that they are looking at a different approach than adding new wards to solve this. So they're not just throwing wards at us anymore. So they're trying to figure out how to actually make it work.
I think that's apartments is what he's referencing.
Bigger ones or something.
Mm-hmm.
Fine.
That's what I think he's referencing, yeah.
Ugh. Nobody wants an apartment.
I wouldn't mind one if it was big enough.
Yeah, and if it actually
had a garden.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing that they would need to figure out is, I don't know, greenhouses or something you could do to do the outside stuff.
People still don't want apartments. Like, deep down, you want a house with an exterior in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
You only want that because that's the system in the game, though.
That is true.
But why would, if it was apartments, why would he be afraid of telling us all about it? Because apartments, as far as I know, can just be added endlessly because there's no exterior part, so they can just add rooms forever. Like a mog house in 11, I guess.
Right, exactly.
And they're still not all sold out on Ragnarok, so.
Oh, no, and they even said if it sells out, they add more, yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe it's... Maybe they'll add another system.
Dude, a large penthouse apartment would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, it would be.
Yeah, yeah. That would be pretty cool.
But how are we going to prepare for that? And therefore, get
yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
there's also the policies part. They're adding... let's see. What does it say? We're going to do this. Yeah, there will be more features and policies around this edition. So there will be... And he also straight out says restrictions. On the new restrictions. So there are restrictions coming. And there will be features and policies.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if they actually do anything about those, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they have...
There's restrictions on bots, too. How many of those get fucking banned?
Well, I mean, a lot of them do get banned, but, I mean, it's not enough. But,
Okay. I see the same bots for, like, 4 weeks in a row on PvP, and I'm reporting them every time. I don't know about that, Lukiel.
I'm trying to be... But I mean, he wouldn't... And last time this happened, they said, we're working on a solution for this. We're going to add some more wards. Done. Gave us wards. Didn't work. Fuck off. Mm-hmm. And now they're actually saying that they're going to add restrictions, which leads me to believe that maybe we might be looking at, like, FC's only areas, maybe, or something like that. Maybe they add wards with, like, designated free company plots.
Does that solve it?
It solves it to a degree, because if you look at the wards in, like, at least on Ragnarok, almost, like, I would almost say over 50% of the plots are private homes, like private estates. Because it takes more to make a free company. You need three people to form a company. You need to be a certain rank, don't you? I think you need to be a certain rank to buy a house.
Right, but at the same time, unless every single free company gets a house, the problem still persists, you know?
And then no one else gets a house.
Yeah.
Which surely means that they're more looking at instanced housing.
Maybe it's a tax. Could be.
Or rent.
One house per account. We've talked about this, yeah. One house per account. Well, let's...
I mean, I still think that's the best decision.
Yes. Let's...
I know people don't like to hear that because... There is, it's like, I have multiple houses, I'm not doing anything wrong, but it's like, still making it harder on other people, you know? So, I kind of think that is probably the best way to go, if I'm being entirely honest.
Yeah, but I still think that...
Way house everybody else, and you don't solve anything, really. Yeah. I don't know.
I think only houses should be privately owned, mansions. Yeah, that's also a good point. A single person don't really need a mansion. Do they? I mean, God, I'm going to get so much flack now.
Do people in real life need a mansion to themselves?
True, that's a very good point.
But it's awesome.
But if 14 had this from the start, no one would have batted an eye at the fact that FCs only would get mansions, because it would make sense, because FCs are big. They need larger housing than a single person. But... Yeah,
I'll also say this. Did anyone complain about housing before they even added private housing in the first place?
Hey.
When it was only FC housing?
I remember when they introduced housing and the housing wards were empty for months. And then private housing was introduced and everything was sold out immediately.
As much as I don't want to admit, because it would suck for me because I like my personal house, they never should have added personal housing.
I kind of agree. I was a big supporter to begin with, but now it's just a mess. So yeah, I agree.
They should have stayed with free company housing and made apartments personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been sort of the most elegant solution.
Because it was just in rooms for months and months, and that I was reasonably happy with having my little in room to go to sleep in every night.
Yeah. It's true.
And
it was kind of cute,
and
you know.
Don't forget personal chambers in the free company house, which was supposed to cover those needs.
Yeah,
before
they just really need to make those so you can buy different sizes. That's the biggest thing. And I mean, if they had gone free company, can only get, they can buy houses. They're the only people that can buy houses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And apartments are small, medium, and large apartments. Those are all private. Your chambers are small, medium, large. They're private.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you all have access.
I don't think anyone. Right. Yeah. I don't think anyone would have had a would have had an issue with that at all.
Definitely not.
No. Yeah, and like having like just having the option to upgrade an apartment, perhaps like you let's say you can't afford a, if in this alternate universe where apartments have different sizes, you can say buy a small one and you can upgrade it over time, and as well yeah. with mm-hmm. personal chambers in the free company house. Because in a free company house you already have a garden, which if your FC master is kind enough, you can use the garden facilities if you want to do garden work. So yeah, I feel like when they added personal housing, they kind of didn't give a fuck about the FC housing aspect of it. They just free for all, and this is their mess. They made this.
Sure did.
Yeah. Yoshi P's answer does continue. About players creating multiple accounts to buy more plots, unfortunately, as long as they pay multiple subscriptions, it will be very difficult for us to track that, so I'm afraid there is little we can do. So there's an editor's note here. We actually asked about alts on the same account, but it seems this has been misunderstood, so the answer doesn't quite fit. So he continues, however, we are able to track players who buy a house with the intent of making a profit reselling it. So rest assured that we are taking action against these players. So the house flippers, they are being targeted by Square Enix, which is good. But as he said, well, although he didn't answer the question with about having alts on the same account.
Yeah, which...
Maybe he did.
Lots of people do that.
Maybe he probably understood it, but he was like, oh, fuck it, I'm not going to answer that.
Right.
I don't know.
Because it is like a glaring hole in everything.
Yeah. And, they don't want to.
Oh, I have 10 characters on this server. They all have houses. It's great.
Now you're going to get comments again. You can't have more than 8 characters on a server. There we go again. There he goes again.
Sorry.
Now we. Okay. So that is housing. Let's hope that they fix it. Every time, it's the same thing I said about the glamour thing. Let's just hope. That's all we can at this point.
That's all we can do.
They have to fix this. They don't have to. Let's be honest. It's not a game breaking. It doesn't break your game. What am I trying to say? It doesn't break the game to not own a house. It's not part of the essential Final Fantasy XIV experience. But it is annoying that it's there and it's supposed to serve the players and you can't access it because one person has 15 houses. That was some old salt that I just got out. That was the last salt I had about housing. So it was good to get that out. just wait for 4.2 for more salt.
Maybe.
So in the same interview, speaking of salt, what are the consequences of delaying Eureka to 4.2? This new feature was supposed to come along with a new relic weapon quest. The relic usually helps players catching up on weapon level and involves a lot of grinding. This isn't quite compatible with bringing a whole new raid tier. How will this issue be dealt with? Editor's note. It seems this question was quite difficult to explain, so the answer may not be completely on point. Firstly, the new relic weapon quest will have a completely different implementation than before, so you can forget what you have been used to with the last two relic weapon quest lines. The relic weapon quest started in 3.1 for Heavensward, but will start at 4.2 this time. So, of course, the item level will be increased to match the content of patch 4.2, so please don't worry about that part. Now,
you have to do hardcore raiding for it.
Well, actually, that wouldn't be okay. So, I had an idea about this. There's so much we actually have to talk about here because I forgot to add a second quote from the other interview, which he explained more. Hold on, it's from the PSU one, I believe.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I forgot to put it in. Hold on, guys. Let's see. No. Okay. here we go. Okay. Where is it? Oh, there we go. It was mentioned in an earlier interview that you have thought of, should we do that now, or should we just talk about this first?
They go hand in hand.
They kind of do. So let's just mix them together. It was mentioned in an earlier interview that you have thought about the idea of relic armor that can grow and improve with your character through completing quests and running content, something akin to the Zodiac and Anima weapon quests we currently have. Have you had any more thoughts about how this type of gear could be implemented within 14? Yoshida then answers, yes, we actually already have solidified our plans for this. This content will be packaged within the Forbidden Land of Eureka content and thus will be implemented at the same time. So there we go. Two important points here. We were terrified that Eureka was going to go away from relic weapons.
Mm-hmm. Which it kind of has.
Well, he does say in the first interview, weapon. He says, the new relic weapon quest. And then he says in the other...
within Eureka, though.
It
probably is, to be honest. But
I mean, if the relic armor takes place in Eureka... Wait, actually... Yeah, within the Forbidden Land of Eureka. So it will be implemented. So the armor, and I'm assuming weapon, will go in... Will be packaged with Eureka and will be tied to Eureka as they initially said. So we can relax. Eureka is still going to be relic tied. Now, how is this going to work? First of all, I'm pretty sure, I think it makes sense to me that the relic armor and weapon is going to be based on the gear that you get from your level 70 job quest.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which sucks because I don't like it.
It's worrying if it'll just be a dyeable version. That's what I don't want.
I think if it's multiple steps, it'll be fine because we'll probably get a second set of it eventually. You know what I mean? Like,
the relic weapons change drastically.
We'll just be on fire by the end of it or
really
something.
I genuinely hope so.
Yeah.
I'm not even joking. This game doesn't have enough flashy armor.
We talked about this earlier. It's weird, but in such a flashy game as Final Fantasy XIV, where like a skill can like light up an entire nation, the gear is very bland. It doesn't have any glow. The only glow things we have are like the thing that goes around the arms of some of the crafting gear.
I'm not gonna lie, I don't really want relic armor.
Why?
It could be- I want purple gear in every slot.
Okay, I can agree with that. That's cool and everything.
That's all I want.
For me, even if I have purple gear in every slot, it's not gonna make a difference.
It is.
I'm still gonna take it off to put on better gear.
That's been the problem with the relic gear in 14. It's just not good. It's not.
I mean, it'll be best in slot for 4.55, and that's it. You know, like it's. I don't know. I'm torn on it because I'm gonna do it. Obviously, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
Sure. But I don't know. I wish they would just focus more on making really cool relic weapons instead. To be honest.
Yeah, but I'm sure the relic. The relic weapon is also going to be included here, so the relic weapons might look cool at the end.
I'll say something that's probably going to make people mad.
What?
If it was more like WoW's relic system, mm-hmm. where you actually got to choose the look of it and more hands-on customize your design, I might be more okay with it.
And if it had a talent tree.
No, fuck that.
It definitely needs more talent trees.
No.
We're never going to get talent trees. I do agree, though.
Because in that, there were like hidden appearances. There was you had to go all around, do all the content to get all the looks. Mm-hmm. That would be cool.
Yeah.
But our glamour system doesn't allow that, Yaz. Our glamour system doesn't allow that.
I know. Especially for armor, because the armor is...
Ugh.
I don't want... just a flashier, shinier, antiquated set that we already have, you know?
Yeah, that's like 10 eye levels behind everything else.
Right.
Yeah.
But I do want purple gear everywhere, so I'm happy with it.
Yeah, just having the purple gear is satisfying.
They should just put in orange gear. Let's just do it.
Let's just do that.
Oh, yes, please.
Calm down over there. Yeah. I would
orange.
I would love. Was that an orange caramel reference you just made?
It almost could be.
It almost could be.
Orange was legendary.
Yeah.
Orange is legendary. Exactly.
Rest in peace, sweet prince.
Now we're gonna get all the rumors that Orange is actually dead, and that's what that was a reference to. He's not, by the way.
Tune in next week to find out.
Look for the hidden orange. I've hidden an orange.
Look at the back.
A body part is hidden. Now where were we? Oh yeah, relic weapons. Yeah, that was what I was thinking. We've talked about the relic weapons before. I think we discussed this. Oh, this is a long time ago. No point in referencing it, but. And I know this also sucks. In 11, if you got one of the equivalents to relics in 11, you were set for years.
Yeah. You also, most of the time, got a skill from it.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Which is why you said earlier, Mela, that in before you have to do savage raids or something. That wouldn't be too bad. Like, let's say to complete the final step, you have to clear a savage tier, and boom, your weapon would be higher. Let's say an item drops that you need to upgrade that weapon, much like you did with a Zenith weapon, though you only bought it for tomes. But say an item drops there, bring that item to the NPC, and boom, you have the best in slot weapon.
I don't think we'll ever see that, though.
That would be perfect.
That
because
yeah.
the attitude of a lot of the people in the community is, I just want a good weapon. I don't want to have to try for it, especially if it's a skill or something like that. You know, people complained about Brute Justice having a second cool phase, and people complain about Neo X-Death that they won't ever see Neo X-Death. It's like, well, just do the fight then, you know?
Yeah.
But they're like, I don't want to. That would only make that worse.
The fact that relics are purple and going from basically every MMO ever in existence, purple has to be the best.
Yeah,
the fact that when you get it, it's basically worse than other gear in the game, or the blues in the game, isn't great. It needs to be, at least when it's released, the best, right?
Yeah, just thinking back to like a Realm Reborn, the Zenith weapon was best in slot for a long ass time.
Well, they're usually best in slot every second patch still.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Right, because... yeah. On off raid patches, basically.
Yeah.
Which probably won't be true anymore anyways because of ultimate weapons, so.
Yeah, true. that would bring so much salt. My skin is drying up just thinking about it. Yeah, it would. I understand that. I'm just trying to, like... I feel like it's sad, just like Mela just said, like the purple gear is supposed to be the best gear in the game. At least that's how it's been in other games.
And see, people are saying that like you shouldn't have to tie it to Savage because they see it as an alternative. Well, Lukiel's saying that you could still get it to the point where you want to get it to, but doing these extra things, going above and beyond, would improve it even better, right? Make it viable.
Yeah.
Because, let's be honest, if you're not doing Savage Rating or Ultimate, you don't need Best in Slot anyways. Who cares?
Yeah.
Right? The only people that care about Best in Slot are people who are using Best in Slot gear.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't have to change the outlook. Like, it doesn't have to change appearance at all. It just it gets a stat upgrade, and there you go. Here's a raid relic.
Yeah,
there you go. Zenith, yeah, the relic and the Allegan ones were the same eye level, which was the Allegan weapons were the raid weapons at the time. Didn't have Savage back then.
Everything was Savage.
But then they were buffed, yeah. I remember, yeah, they did get buffed. That was a weird buff, wasn't it?
Which is funny because they did the opposite now.
Yeah.
They're like, nah, let's not buff the relics, let's buff the Savage drops 5 levels.
How weird was that? It's like they were like, relics should be on the same level as raid weapons, and then they were like, probably a bad idea. And then they buffed it up. So it seems like maybe they kind of wanted it to be at the same level, but then...
they went back on it, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I understand both sides of that. I mean, the raiders don't want people that don't do raids to have the same kind of weapon as they have. Like, I understand that. And I also understand that people that never raid, they want a good weapon as well. But for them, I would more understand the... glamour aspect of it, because you're not doing hardcore content. You don't need those stats
right
to run an expert dungeon, so I see that as well. It's basically just glamour for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, the 230 set's probably going to last them until the end of the expansion for an expert dungeon, so
well,
I mean, you're not wrong. You theoretically could just a couple dungeon drops. Yeah. I mean, you can get the whole game just getting dungeon drops from the dungeon before, taking them into the next one and get dungeon drops there.
Mm, yeah. Speaking of,
you can make it through everything that way.
Just a quick side note. Can we just implement eye level requirements for leveling dungeons?
Oh, God, just yes.
Do that.
Please.
Because I did. Hello, if you're watching. I did a stone vigil the other day with a party of just brand new players, and we spent 20 minutes trying to clear the first room of stone vigil, and I didn't realize what was wrong until I started gear checking my fellow party members, and they were wearing eye level 16 gear and level 1 rings.
Mm-hmm. And while you're at it, do you want to go back and make it so tanks can't wear healer gear early on?
Oh my god, dude. Because
that happened to me not that long ago.
The blackened scale mail dropped in the dungeon, and the tank was like, oh, new gear. I was like, I want to die. It has like 2 stats on it. So, yeah, it's...
Doesn't it have like less defense than like something 20 levels lower?
It's disgustingly low. It's just, it's not supposed to be worn. It's a crafting component. So
blackened smithy gloves. Yes, I can wear new gloves.
Mm. It goes well with my glamour, which I don't glamour though. That's for pussies. I wear the actual gear.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh god, I hate that.
I wear all expeditioners gear all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. I do savage in it. I have like 10k health. It's great.
So back to the relic. How do you think this is gonna work? So let's theoretically, because Eureka is confirmed to be the relic now, so we don't have to worry about that. How do you think it's going to work? Like, because we know it's not going to be like the previous relic quests.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have something to do with Eureka, which may or may not be instanced. We don't know if it's still going to be instanced, because it feels
it's
like they
probably going
to
be.
It better not be.
I'm sorry, Mila. It's going to be instanced.
Oh, I think it's going to be instanced. Maybe it'll have loads of different monsters. No, it'll be like level 1 monsters, level 2 monsters, level 3, 4, 5, and 6 difficulty, and you have to use groups to kill them and maybe do some fate.
What is an instance in this game?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But it's not hard to add a new zone to your expansion in patches. That is sort of what games do.
I mean, the hardest part about adding a new zone is designing the zone, and they clearly are capable of doing that. That's why we're getting it. So I couldn't agree more.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I could see problems if they were not going to make it instanced. They probably would have to have different instances for the zone, like, you know, like the just, locks and
just
stuff like that.
Zerging and stuff, and just
right.
Like, yeah.
Right. Because relics are popular content regardless. So if you're doing something that's, you know, 2,000 people on your server are trying to do and you're all in the same zone, I mean, A, it's not going to work. It's just not going to work. And, it's going to be a clusterfuck. So
yeah. I see that.
That's fine by me though. That's absolutely fine. What I don't want is
time limit,
a 90-minute lockout or a 90-minute timer when I go in. Right, do this. Get your relic.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, if they cut the timer, it's fine. Have it instanced.
Yeah,
no problemo. But don't put a timer on it.
Don't put a timer on it. Yeah, okay.
Because the timer in the diadem was one of the reasons why I just hated it. Because it felt like I was in a dungeon. and it was and it was a piss poor dungeon where you had no idea what you were doing. It was just like, kill some mobs here and you're done. And it's like, what the fuck is this? You didn't get that, because when you're when they encourage you to explore, you want to do it at your own pace. Because like you said, Eureka is like a Diadem is a vast area that you can explore with your friends, and this is like a few tiny patches of land floating in a giant emptiness with a 60-minute timer.
You could go through the middle layer and you could go to the bottom. It was so cool, man.
And you can gather like 7 different crafting things.
Yeah.
I admittedly did do quite a lot of Diadem.
You did?
Just, yeah.
Are you mad? What the hell?
Well, I needed the Pegasus, man.
Oh, yeah, I did get the Pegasus. How the fuck did I do that? I guess I did it a lot. I must have. Yeah, we did it a lot.
Well, I mean, it's way easier to do as a free company. You could just go in solo and go around collecting chests and stuff.
That's what I did.
Doesn't take long at all.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't do that. I just went and did Diadem.
The gathering in Diadem. Yeah, I remember that. That was interesting, but you had to have a party with you stressful. To protect you or you'd die.
Yeah, because they could see through stealth.
Yeah, there was nowhere to hide from them. And you just one hit, you were dead. Yeah, I wonder how the relic itself ties to this. Like, if instanced or not, I still don't understand how it can be timed. If it's supposed to be, because you can only work on your relic within Eureka.
Mm-hmm. Especially if they're gonna put a time, like a cooldown on it, like they did with Diadem, right? Or it's like, yeah, you can't go back in for another 30 minutes.
I forgot they had that, which that was bullshit too.
Well, it's because if you stayed in the whole time, the cooldown would have elapsed.
They're talking about the Mirage Snails. I understand about the Mirage Snails worked, but I'm talking about the OG Diadem here. I keep going back to that. But yeah, in the OG Diadem, 1.0 Diadem, you had nothing.
In 2.0 Diadem. No, sorry, 3.0 Diadem. 3.1?
Excuse me, what? 3.1 Diadem?
It's because everybody gets confused because you say 2.0 Diadem, people think...
You mean 2.0,
1.0? Oh, God. Okay, the first iteration of Diadem. Sorry, okay, so I'm interested to see how it's going to work then in Eureka, because I think I'm assuming this is the content that has never before been seen in an MMO. Mm,
I doubt it.
Else can it be?
The idea very quickly when they realized they couldn't deliver on it. Do you really think they can come up with something that's never been done before in an MMO?
Well, clearly they're trying. I think Eureka is it. I think Eureka was the thing they were trying to do.
If I'm being honest, I think Ultimate is closer to that than anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, Ultimate...
Because that's actually a difficulty level that is not in most games, you know what I mean?
I mean, it's just a raid. I mean, it's a hardcore raid. Come on.
Quick time.
But Eureka sounds like they're trying something that's at least never been done in 14.
I don't know, man. I the more I hear about it, the more I think it's just a zone to do the same things we did for every other relic, but you do it in one spot this time.
Yeah,
it's probably that's with a timer,
right? Like, we're gonna have
and a lockout, week lockout.
If there's no fate step for the relic, I will be shocked.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm 100% sure the fate step is going to be doing fates in Eureka.
I think the first step, and this is quite an innovative idea, so you're welcome, Square Enix. All the Stormblood zones, you should have to do fates in each one of them, and you get like an aspected crystal. Mm. They have a really low drop rate, though, so you're spending a little bit of time in them. Mm, you have to get 3 of each. So that's really populate the world. It'll make the world feel more alive. And then when you've got them all, you can change them for astral or umbral nodules. You're welcome to the idea. I mean, you can choose the name. This is your game.
Yeah.
And then I feel like that would be good.
Mm-hmm. For sure, for sure.
Didn't they say the same thing about leave quests?
Leave quests could be good if they increase the XP reward. Simple.
Remember when we had those for current levels? That was fun.
Yeah.
Do we even have them anymore?
They're not even in the game anymore. They're just like, who cares?
Anyway,
yeah, why do they keep making
it? Yeah, I mean, I want to have high hopes, but it's the more they keep talking about it and the more they seem to be almost backpedaling on it, you know?
Yeah.
That yeah. I'm
pushing it back and back and back.
It is right. mysterious and, how they're being and, so weird about it, yeah.
And they're saying like different things now than they were before, and
yeah.
It's like either, as Mela said, it's like their idea didn't work and they've just kind of scrambling to make something new.
Yeah.
Or I really don't know, man.
Well, there is another portion of the interview where he actually talks about Eureka and the diadem.
I want to address one thing. Somebody said, what about skipping the fates if we have the old weapon? They already said that's not happening this time.
Yeah, it is completely
unlinked. You can have a Lux weapon. You're not going to skip a single step.
It is unrelated to that thing. So, so here's in the PSU interview, Naoki Yoshida talks a little bit about the diadem and Eureka, and the guess the differences. The question was, while the diadem was a daring step towards new content in 14, it seems like many players didn't feel a strong incentive to stick with it for the long haul. What lesson have you learned? What lesson have you learned from Diadem, and what kinds of changes can you expect to see when Eureka is implemented? What challenges have you encountered that have delayed its release until 4.2? Are you ready for this answer, guys?
Is this when he says the thing?
Yes. So this is going to be very fun. This is Myla's favorite quote coming up right now. He answers, "This can be said for Diadem as well, but when creating content for Final Fantasy XIV, we don't envision anything we make as content we want people to continue playing for an exceptionally long time." Before we carry on,
we don't want people to do our content. What is he saying? Oh my god, what a thing to say for a game director. Well, when we make our content, we don't actually want people to play it.
He has said this before, but it pisses me off kind of that he keeps saying this. Like, how can you, as a producer-director for an MMO, say that? That we are making throwaway content that will be irrelevant with the next patch, which is more or less what 14 does. Doesn't really bother me that much, because the content that we get that replaces it is usually good enough that I don't really think too much about it. But it's scary to have that sort of vision for the game, because it means you never, I mean, the content you put out doesn't have like a long lifespan. You create everything that this content is good for this patch, and then we'll abandon it.
Yeah.
See, now I think the even worse problem is not with content that is easy to throw away, but they do with content that should be hard to throw away as well.
Yeah,
like PvP modes. Yeah. The fact that as soon as a new PvP mode comes out, all the other ones die.
Mm.
When there's no reason that should be happening, but it's because
Shatter is the replacement.
Yeah,
right. And it's like, they seem to struggle with even in places where it seemingly would be pretty easy to keep that content relevant, you know?
Yeah, because why would they do, like, especially the PvP thing, that has bothered me for a long time. Like, I never get Seal Rock, which is the one I want, because I want to get the glamour. And the mounts, I think, do you get a mount from that? I don't think you do. Yeah, you do it get works. The ADS it, mount there, right?
No, the ADS mount works is on all of
them.
Okay,
so it's just the glamour from that, yeah.
But no, maybe that's Secure that has the horses.
The horses is just general.
Is that just general as well?
Yeah, 100 victories.
The blue one, and then the red ADS.
There are two ADSs, the red one and the blue one. The blue one is from Shatter. And I think perhaps the blue one is from
I think they might have opened that one up to anything too.
Whatever. It's
possible. Maybe they didn't. I don't know.
At least the glamour is only on Seal Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no point, because the content is still good. It's just they've added a new mode. Doesn't mean that they should throw it away. Yeah. It has always, that part has always bothered me. What they've done with Frontline specifically, they've sort of doomed their own content. It's also, if you look at, I can't believe I'm bringing this up. Lords of Verminion.
Well, that was doomed from the start. So
I, just as I said it, I realized there's literally nothing they could do there. But
no, yeah, that was just.
I guess Chocobo Racing had something going.
I like it. I still like Chocobo Racing.
Yeah,
I don't do it very much.
Ishgard map.
Yeah,
and,
they haven't added new maps. And if this is what Yoshi P thinks about 14, then it all makes sense. To him, it's just forward, 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 and just leave the old shit behind. Make like pretend it didn't happen.
Right.
Which is sad, because it's such a weird thing to do, because when you run an MMO, I would think you would want your players to stick around for as long as possible.
Yeah, that, it's all about retention.
Yes, so by keeping old content relevant all the time, you suddenly have like a lot of content that people can do. I mean, we've already brought up WoW like twice today, but again, like look at what WoW did with this. It's dungeons with the multiple difficulties system where you can run it in like. Is it mythic? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, they can go up to mythic, and that's almost infinite in how difficult it is.
I'm not saying that dungeons is the worst part about 14, leaving things behind. They are still relevant through the leveling roulette and stuff like that. But still, there are, like, we've talked about Castrum and Praetorium, dungeons like that are just thrown to the side, and really, no, you don't, very few people run those, except for those that have to do it because of main story. Mm-hmm. And those that, which it's on the main scenario roulette, as far as I know, still, that wasn't the point of this. I mean, this isn't even the topic we're talking about, but it's still, it rubs me the wrong way. This,
it's just everything they've added to the game is abandoned at some point. Guild tests, as pointless as they are, as in a tutorial, they stop at what, 45, 50?
Yeah, they stop
45, 35,
45, 40,
something like that, and then they're just never added to them.
Leaps.
Gold Saucer. No new minigames, no new gates, no
Gold Saucer's
new anything.
Weird to me.
Yeah, the Gold Saucer, yeah. Well, I feel like they just abandoned it. Yeah.
Because they said it was something that was going to be constantly updated.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 you know, we're going to add this to it, we're going to add this to it, and then we got Lords of Verminion, people is like, fuck it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I mean, we're not saying that the game is bad as a result, but it means the fact that they're just leaving it behind means that we have less content, which could technically be actual content. It's frustrating to just know that it's just lying around there.
Like, at what point are our squadrons going to be abandoned and we'll just...
Yeah, exactly. You never know. You never know. Like, squadrons looked like they were abandoned for a fucking long time before we, like, suddenly there was, 4.1, we're going to bring you some new squadron stuff. So it's a little bit scary because you never know if it's worth investing time in. So let's... I mean, I joke about Battle Leaves, but I mean, still, it is content that they could have actually improved
easily.
But do you think here's something this is controversial. Do you think Yoshi P hates everything about what 1.0 was, and that's why he has just entirely abandoned every single concept from there?
It's a possibility, but
he might.
Because he hasn't touched Guild Hests, which is basically behests. He has not touched leaves. They did, like, they gave him, like, artificial life, the Battlecraft leaves, is up to Heavensward. And then now there's no one. There's nothing. Which I think I'm not gonna be the defender of leave quests, because I hate leave quests as much as everyone else. But
they're brutal.
Hey. They could have built on it. Oh, yeah. Annoys me. They didn't have to do much with them. They could have just given, like, they nerfed the EXP gain from leave quests, which I didn't see any point in doing.
They should double it.
I think it was because they were afraid of people doing leave quests over fates. I think that was the main reason to begin with, but because old players returning did leave quests instead of fates, because it was still got more EXP from that, and it's more reliable EXP income. But yeah, that's not.
Well, neither are fun though, are they?
No. Well, fates were fun in the beginning. Now they just went too far with the fates. Too many fate grinds for my taste.
Do you feel kind of sad for the people who write the stories for Guild Leaves.
Yeah, I do. Because if you,
it's like the Chocobo guy.
Yeah. I mean, for us, it's Koji Fox writing the stories for. I think the stories are unique, at least for the leave plates for each country. I believe, at least with a slight variation. And some of the leave plates stories are goes as far back as 1.0, so they just carry them over. And he put a lot of effort into those stories, so there are stories behind the leave plates. So if you wanna read some weird fucking lore, just do a battle leave. It'll some of them are really fucked up.
Or just go watch a certain YouTube channel that's covered a little bit of that.
There might be one around. You might find one. We have back to what Yoshi-P's answer. We have designed the game in a way that entices players to strive for high item level weapons or equipment, or enjoy the aspect of leveling up with our content updates. Since there is a level cap in the game, coupled with the fact that we increase the item level on equipment with our updates, it's really hard to imagine content existing that can be played for an extended period of time. Again, showing how he views this, because they increase the item level, content that doesn't match that item level falls behind, which can easily be fixed. We've seen it in other MMOs, so I don't understand that statement. We tried a few different things with the diadem. In the first iteration, we focused on content where players farmed enemies without many clear objectives, and then toyed with the idea of having players complete objectives with a big surprise waiting for them in the form of a monster.
Big surprise.
Is he referring to the emergency mission in there, or
probably? Never seen that.
Yeah, I think I never so.
Actually, did it.
You've never done the emergency mission?
I did
never
that ever. Once in that legendary stream with Orange, where Orange. Okay, just quick. So those of you that didn't watch it,
biggest vein of salt he's ever found.
Before the diadem 2.0, so the second diadem was released, Orange was very. Pessimistic, because he said diadem is going to be the same as it used to be, and and we at that point I think we knew about the emergency missions, because I think he said something along the lines of there's not enough difficult content in the diadem or something like that. It's just fate. No, it wasn't fates at that time. It was just nothingness. Mm-hmm. And so we streamed both the last day of the old diadem and the first day of the new diadem. And when we did that one, first of all, we realized that there were fates there. So you can imagine Orange being happy. Then we actually got an emergency mission and we wiped like almost immediately. And when you wipe in an emergency mission, you can't do it again. It's over. Mm. And Orange uttered the words, "It's bullshit when they don't tell you what to do. It's bullshit when they don't tell you what to do." And you can imagine the Twitch audience reaction to that gem of a quote.
Ooh.
Yeah, bless so it just yeah that was a legendary Orange fuck up there. Don't say that on stream when 14 players are watching and have been watching you for a long time and know exactly what you wanted, and that was kind of what he wanted, and he didn't like it because they didn't tell him what to do. The idea behind Eureka. Oh, sorry. Eureka was developed based on our experiences from creating that content. The idea behind Eureka is to give players the opportunity to experience content that has a completely different set of battle rules from field or instanced content. However, it has been taking us time to develop it due to its scale and completely new system. It shouldn't be much longer, though. So, never before seen in an MMO starts to ring from, I can hear it from the distance now. This is it. This is the content. It's happening, guys. This is the content. I mean, I'm not going to be entirely negative, although I was too positive for the second version of Diadem, so I'm not going to be as positive for Eureka. But it says that has a completely different set of battle rules from field or instance content. So it's not going to be anything we're used to right now. Hopefully.
It almost comes across as like, and like you sort of level up within it.
Oh no, like, don't say it. Don't say that this is going to be like, is this going to be like Palace of the Dead?
I don't think that's what he's saying.
No, okay. Like, no, not each time you go in you level, but maybe over time you gain power in a way, like an alternate way of getting power. That only works in the Eureka place. That's... Maybe it has its own little talent tree. That'd be nice.
You with your talent trees. I doubt we'll ever get talent
trees. Stop, dude.
Don't. Go on.
You need to let it go. No, you need to let it go.
You have to let that go. It's never going to happen.
We're never going to get talent trees, and we're never going to get gear set bonuses.
No. No.
Good idea, yes.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's... Well, that's interesting, though, having that system. That's... okay. Still, the battle system, though. I wonder how that's gonna... The battle rules, whatever that means. Like, don't cross the line. That's the first rule I could think of.
Always look left and right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, that's... We don't know. We just have to... We only have Yoshi P's words to go on here, and although he has... I wouldn't say failed us, but he's overhyped stuff before, so don't get too carried away by this. What are you laughing at?
Remember he's overhyped stuff before? Yeah, of course he has.
Yeah. So have we, though. Yeah, remember when we were all excited for Evil East to be an open world zone?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's still hope.
Okay.
There is hope.
Okay.
Until that question mark map has been resolved, Evil East will be an open world zone.
All right.
Or at least Almaska.
Okay.
Anyway, let's move on to our next point, which is a curious one. Apparently, why have I done it twice? Japanese servers are experiencing some really terrible DDoS attacks, which seem to... I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I'll just read the official statement first. We are currently experiencing technical difficulties due to a DDoS attack. Players may experience the following issues as a result. It doesn't say anything after that.
Doesn't say any issues.
We are looking into the way attacks are being made and taking countermeasures. It's like they're so panicked, they don't even, like, they can't even write it correctly. We are looking into the way attacks are being made and taking countermeasures. More information will be provided as the situation develops. Date and time from November the 9th, around 7:20 p.m. PST. They even
very specific.
It's very specific. Players may... here they put the issues. Players may experience the following issues. Disconnected from JP Data Center Worlds, difficulty logging into JP Data Center Worlds, and difficulty accessing and sending and receiving data from JP Data Centers. Affected service, Final Fantasy 14.
NA2.
Is NA2? Is that confirmed? Mm-hmm. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, the NA server's been fucked for like the last 3 days.
Surely, it's probably just people messing around with Ultimate.
Is this? Yeah, I was about to say, it's because of Ultimate.
We don't want anyone to beat it now.
It'd be pretty cleared now, though. Who cares?
Yeah, I guess.
It's so... I will never understand DDoS attacks. Like, at least not in gaming. Like, why would you DDoS an MMO?
Because you don't want fun. People are not allowed to have fun.
You want everyone else to suffer.
What do you get out of it, though? Like, it's not like you can print it and hang it on your wall. Maybe someone does. Maybe someone has printed out the the notice from Square Enix and like, that's me. I did that. I did that, Mom.
Maybe.
Look at me.
On my CV.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people have been saying. The NAD DOSes actually aren't at the 14 servers.
Oh, okay.
It's like, which makes sense, because even I went to go stream the one day, and it was like, I was transmitting like 0.6 kilobytes of data or something like that.
Okay.
Like, impossible levels, you know?
Whoa, so you need to calm yourself down.
It's like, I don't know, man.
That's weird.
6 kilobytes.
That's, wow. 1996 called. They want their modem that's back.
A lot of bytes.
Okay. A lot of bits. We have to... Oh, God. Time is moving. It's moving, actually. So let's get to the next point, which is the housing furnishing design contest winners have been announced, and we're going to look at them.
Hello, audio listeners. This portion of the podcast is best experienced visually, so I have taken the liberty of cutting this portion out of the episode. I highly recommend watching this yourself on youtube.com/speakersxiv. For now, though, I'll return you to the rest of the podcast.
I guess that means we have time for the great discussion today, which is a bit of a another controversial one. This is courtesy of Maella. this is Maella's burning desire. Final Fantasy XIV. Does it need more fluff content? By that we mean stuff to do, and this ties in with what Yoshi P, the thing we got heated about in the previous segment here. There is very little to do in 14 other than the roulettes and well, that's about it really, and the if you're raiding the raid, which you would do then once a week, I would assume, or more if you're still working on progging. But yeah, that's about it. And then there's the Kojin Daily, which, or the Beast Tribes. And what else is there? There's Minago, but she's weekly. And then I think that's it. And then there's
Sightseeing Log, man.
Sightseeing Log. Oh, yeah. Gold Saucer.
Oh, yeah, right. There's so much to do there, too.
Because Gold Saucer was made to be the fluff content, like the stuff you can do in between. But we touched upon it in the previous segment. It feels like they've abandoned most of the stuff in Gold Saucer for some weird reason. Remember they announced the Gold Saucer with like so much, like it was such hype that we are actually getting the Gold Saucer in 14. There's maps. We'll get to more specific. I'll let Maella explain this. He's better at this than me. The Gold Saucer was supposed to be like, this is the place to go where you just waste some time while when you're bored, for instance. But some of the systems in the Gold Saucer are so outdated now. Like, who wants to do the mini games in the Gold Saucer?
I do them once a week for the challenge log.
That's it. You have to do them three times for the
punch Gilgamesh in the face like three times.
It's always Gilgamesh.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because that's the fastest.
The other ones
one.
Are awful.
Yeah, the Moogle one is just infuriating to do, and you get so little for it when you finally get it done. Okay, Maella, please explain exactly what you mean by fluff content. What exactly is 14 missing right now?
With fluff, I kind of mean sort of very long-term things you can sort of do over and over again and work on at whatever pace you want. So something I might enjoy would be, instead of a minion, Final Fantasy Tactics-style combat, with your minions, you can maybe level them up, unlock skills for them, and fight in tactical battles. Or if when they add Blitzball, maybe that's like a management game or something, and you can work on it. It's things to do, but it's not things to do to progress the actual it's just side things to do to keep you entertained.
But what would like with all content in the game, you need some sort of reward. What kind of reward would you have? Because I think that's the main problem with fluff content, is what do you reward without it becoming more than fluff content, if you get what I mean. Like, if you start adding tombstones to it, it's suddenly it's main content because you need the tomes.
Well, I didn't play that much pet battles in WoW, but what was the reward for that?
Yeah, what was the reward for that?
So I mean, that kind of shows you that you don't necessarily need rewards or ones that stand out like crazy anyways.
Yeah,
well, I enjoy pet battles a lot.
Exactly. If it's fun enough in itself, then it should be okay.
Yeah,
like the tactics one, that could be PvP. Imagine just getting together with people and having like a tactics tournament.
Yeah,
I honestly, I don't think that's a good idea though. I think they should I don't know if after Lord of a Minion they should really be just doing that small scale PvP stuff like maybe. That. You know, like it, I think that just kills the community because then you have a few people wanting to do it and they're like, well,
yeah, that's true.
There's no one here to do it, you know?
Yeah.
Theater rhythm, the rhythm could work.
Didn't they talk about the fact that they couldn't do that because of rights? Like, couldn't do it because of copyright reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it must be difficult for Square Enix to get there's
all the games. Yeah, it's good, but imagine the input lag and shit. Like, it would not work at all.
Yeah, that's a good point, too, actually. Yeah.
But yeah, I would love to have that there, but. No. I don't know what I want. Like, pet battles, as you've talked about several times before, I think would be nice. Content that, I mean, we still have to wait and see. I still don't think Blitzball's going to be good. I don't think anything they add to the gold saucer is good.
But that's the trouble, isn't it? I kind of agree.
I mean, sue me.
It's not that they've never tried to do fluff content, it's just they've never done it well.
Yeah, exactly. The only fluff content that I kind of like, but I don't like, but I just keep doing, is the Junior Jackpot. The Cactpot.
Junior Jackpot.
Is it?
Yeah, Cactpot. Yeah,
the Scratch.
I still do that every once in a while.
Yeah. Other than that,
Gates.
I don't. Dude, the gates never fucking
fun.
You know they spawn at exactly
every
set
15
times.
Minutes.
Do they?
No.
Or every is it half quarter hour. Past half past. Is it half,
yeah. half hour?
Yeah, because it's quarter past and half past.
Oh, okay. What a weird. Okay. Huh.
And you even know which ones spawn.
Yeah, you
depending on.
Oh, it's yeah, okay.
Yeah, very, very set in stone.
Huh. Yeah. Well, there's no one ever doing them anymore, so you're mostly alone if you want to do a gate nowadays. At least on Ragnarok.
That's true.
Well, if you get a good one, like,
mini Cactpot. Why did I say junior? I don't know why I said that.
I don't know.
Mini Cactpot. Yeah. Blitzball would probably be interesting. I wonder how they're gonna do it. If they're gonna do it, like, how are they gonna do it? I've tried to like visualize what it's gonna look like in 14, but I can't really see it.
See squadrons. It. Send them out to do a Blitzball match and wait.
Yeah, it could be a squadron thing.
If he returns with the ball, you gain 10 MGP.
Whoa.
Yeah. No, I don't know. It's the Gold Saucer had such potential to be like fluff central, but
yeah.
It's sad to see that they've just sort of meh. I think they got a bit crushed by the Lords of Verminion failure. And because that didn't work, they were like, okay, no one likes anything we put in here, so fuck it. I mean, to their defense.
No, I think,
what?
I mean, they're wrong. It's just the fact that they put the shittiest minigame that ever existed in a game.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with people not liking it. It's like, just made garbage.
Yeah. I mean,
I think even in actual Vermilion, Lords of Vermilion, the real game, mm-hmm. You don't spawn like 5,000 things. You just have one player has like 5 heroes attached to them. They can use all their abilities or something. So they didn't even implement it well.
Yeah, no. It's just everything like, it's about it is weird. I don't understand why. Yeah, exactly. They even like they play on the name of an actual thing that exists, and they didn't actually do it right. Like they made it their own shitty version. It's so weird. Lords of Verminion could have been so good.
Could have been the long.
Well, it could have been our pet battles if they had just done it correctly. It could have been. You can't deny that it could have been.
I mean, it could definitely have been.
It could have been, but
if it was a totally different game,
yeah.
There's no way even taking like the shell. If you took the shell of what they have now, it still wouldn't be.
What makes Lord of Verminion bad? Let's analyze that. Because I don't think. Oh my goodness!
Cascade and
thanks for the subs.
Thanks for the subs, guys. Okay, let's. What makes it bad?
Can I just say one thing that makes it good, though?
Okay, go on.
Okay.
Because I don't want to be overly negative about it. One thing that really impresses me: they've made a real-time strategy game within this MMO, which is reasonably impressive.
Yeah, and I'm also impressed by the HUD. Like, they just changed the HUD entire. Like, the game completely changes when you go. And I think that was, like, the first time we saw that happen in 14, where, like, everything changed. You were now in a separate game. With Chocobo Racing, you know, you still had the hotbar sort of on the...
Yeah.
So you still felt like it was Final Fantasy 14, but with Lords of Arminion, you were transferred into another game with a completely different HUD. So that was good. Yeah, I agree with that.
And then everything else is bad.
Then what exactly? Let's get into specifics. Because I don't think anyone has ever really pointed out what's wrong. Because it's just... It's bad.
There are too many minions involved. There's too many pieces on the board. Mm-hmm. It's very crowded. Each one is ticking up its ultimate ability, but you don't know which one's ready. You just highlight them all and hope you've got the right ability.
Yeah.
And you can choose a hotbar of like 40 minions to choose between.
Yep.
They all have very different, well, not different, but they all have specific uses.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's very complicated because you'd have to know what their ults are, first of all, for all the minions. So it's like, oh, that's Horchafont. What the fuck is his? I have to use his ultimate. And it's like, this is a protect buff. So it's like, oh, fuck. I didn't need that one. Now it's on cooldown for fucking forever. That is very frustrating with that.
It's also extremely cheesable.
Yes.
Oh, but yeah.
You can basically go, I'm going to use these two minions and then win every single thing easily.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
just for a friend, which two minions?
Yeah.
I'm not telling. It's all dog, by the way. You just go pure dogs.
Pure
little
dog.
Puppies.
Yeah.
Little puppies.
Wolf pup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shred it. You'll shred everything.
It's also very difficult to like keep track of the battlefield because I feel like there's just the fact that there's so many fucking minions on the screen. It's like, where do I fucking focus?
And it's really slow.
Having to continuously make that too. It's very slow. But you also have to like continuously make sure you have enough minions on the battlefield because if one dies, there's like a limit on how many you can spawn, but they don't spawn automatically. Can you? You can queue them up, but they don't spawn automatically, which I think. Perhaps...
Yeah, they do. Like when one dies, it'll automatically replace it with a new one.
No, but you have to queue up the spawn.
Yeah, but you just press one like a million times.
Yeah, but you have to make sure, you have to pay attention to that. You have to be like, oh, if you're like in the middle of the battlefield and you're like, getting I kind of few puppies here right now. It's like, oh, fuck, I've got two puppies left. You have to go back, queue up a fuck ton of minions and wait for them to spawn. There's a lot of stuff, like it's too clunky and it's too slow, and it's like Mala said initially, if they had just had, you know, you have these five minions, choose your five minions, they will be your heroes in this battle, and then begin. The extra management part at the beginning and like throughout the entire fight is so stupid.
That's what I said, John Kerry.
Yeah, that's what a lot of...
So cool.
Yeah,
it would definitely be better.
I agree. It would be way better. And it would be like within the Final Fantasy universe. Like it would be a recognizable style.
That's what I found super strange that they did that in the first place. So like, yeah, let's take Lords of Vermilion.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys are known for having some of the best mini games in video games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're taking like, why?
I'm going to show the trailer for Lords of Vermilion. Do you remember those? Because that was fun.
Yep.
That sure was fun. They put a lot of effort into these trailers, and they even have like the voiceover, the cheesy voiceover. So let's just kick back and enjoy this good old.
Yawning already.
This is the amazing Lords of Arminion trailer. Please enjoy. So here we go.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was a big deal back then.
Smaller than
the biggest battles are fought by the greatest heroes. Ooh. Highly trained warriors who are strong, fierce, and very, very small. Yes, the beloved minions of Final Fantasy 14 are ready to step into the spotlight and onto the battlefield in Lord of Verminion.
Oh yeah.
Lord of Verminion allows players to battle with their collected minions and compete in fierce battles for rankings and rewards. Use your minions to destroy valuable enemy structures, defend your territory, and fight tooth and claw with your opponents. Each minion possesses unique traits and abilities that give you an edge in competition.
Some minions are fast, quickly taking over the battlefield. Others are strong and tough, perfect for taking down enemy forces. There are minions who defend and strengthen their allies, as well as minions who weaken their enemies. Discover them all to build your winning roster. Combine them to make perfect strategies. Lead them to glorious victories. Do you have what it takes to become the Lord of Verminion? Head to the Gold Saucer in Final Fantasy XIV and find out. Start your free trial today.
Yeah, that's also from the legendary patch 3.1, which will probably go down as one of the worst patches in Final Fantasy XIV history. But it's very clear that when this when this trailer was made, they didn't quite know exactly how this was going to work. I know the narrator doesn't know anything about this, because he said that you'd get great rewards. There are no great rewards from Lord of Verminion. I forgot
fucking
that. It's
great rewards. A penguin, which is cool.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, yeah. Also, just so you, everyone, just so you know, patch 3.1. The reason why it's legendary for being bad is because you got Lord of Verminion and the Diadem in the same patch. Good patch, guys. Anyways, we need
the Lord of Verminion music is way too upbeat and fast for like the actual pacing of the gameplay.
It's so weird. It's such a weird trailer. It puts you in the wrong mindset, and that's sort of kind of also why it failed so bad, because people thought it was going to be something very different.
Yeah. I mean, those trailers are not at all representative of the game.
No, not at all. So it's oh god. So yeah, that's
Also, if they didn't hype it up, it probably would have been okay.
Yeah,
would have been better. But they were like, "This is awesome, guys! It's a great strategy game."
Yeah.
Okay.
I really wish Yoshi P said it's something that we've never seen before done in MMO. I wish that.
Yeah,
that's kind of true. That would actually be fair.
I mean, it is true, but
yes, yeah, for all the wrong reasons, sadly.
I won't be able to stop thinking of that music now.
Of all the things, the music.
It's so infectious.
Sure. It's
there. It's music.
It's infectious in like a disease kind of way, yeah.
Yeah, I feel ill.
Yeah. Anyways, I think we've reached the end of the episode. I want to say that we've done it on time, though, but we did actually start 20 minutes late.
No, we did it on time.
Anyways, if you're watching this on demand in a recording, we'll be back next week, same time, same place, you know the deal. Follow us on the social media above me. If you're listening to this podcast, you can follow us at SpeakersXIV on Twitter. It's facebook.com/SpeakersXIV.
Oh.
Lady Tamira, thank you for subscribing. You can also subscribe to us on Twitch at twitch.tv/SpeakersXIV. You can subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/SpeakersXIV. I do believe you can become a sponsor if you're watching this live on YouTube. I have no idea how that's. There might be something I have to set up first. I don't even know how this works. It's very weird. We discussed this before we went on air. What a fucking weird thing to call it. Sponsor. I mean, it's the same as being a subscriber on Twitch, but what can you do? It's already called subscribe on YouTube, so...
Premium subscriber.
Oh, there you go. Premium. Anyways, we'll be back next week. If you're watching this live, stay tuned. The post show will start soon. Only on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/speakersofidlin. Make sure to stay tuned there. Lots of cool stuff happening there as well. Okay. See you next week, guys, and later. Bye! That was a very late bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Speakers of Heidelin. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/speakersxiv and on Facebook at facebook.com/speakersxiv to stay up to date on the latest from Speakers of Heidelin. If you want to watch the show live, the show runs every Saturday at 7 p.m. GMT, 12 p.m. PDT, on twitch.tv/speakersofheidelin and on youtube.com/speakersxiv, where we also archive each episode in video format. If you want to support the show, consider pledging to our Patreon campaign at patreon.com/speakersxiv. Thank you!